And there's definitely room for that in the scriptures. I mean, you know, I think life was a little simpler back then. And it could be simpler now, too. But, you know, we get caught up in the time we lived in. And we are creatures of the nation and the time and the place that we live. And it is the vanity in which we are steeped. You know, the culture and so on and so forth. I try to keep that stuff at an arm's length, honestly. You know, but there's some degree to which it's not even advisable. I mean, we can't go out of the world. We have to live in the world. We have to be able to be holy and without blame in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation, standing forth as lights, not hiding in caves, as it were. And I mean that in a figurative sense, meaning, you know, I could be in the middle of the suburbs. I live in the country, though, but I could be in the middle of the suburbs and be in a cave. In fact, I feel like I was more in a cave when I lived in the suburbs than now that I live in the country. I feel like it's, for some reason, it's like I know a lot more of my neighbors. I'm a lot more involved with them and so on and so forth. Oddly enough, maybe it's because of my children and so on and so forth, because of the things they're involved with. I like what it says about the deacons here. Not double-tongued. Dialogos. Not dialogos, which is like a conversation, but like two of two words. You know, double-tongued is a fine translation of that. You know, we say, or two-faced, we would say. Say one thing here, one thing there. Oh, yes, I sympathize with your position. Oh, yes, I sympathize with your position. Bill, John, you know, always playing both sides of an issue. Not giving him much wine. Again, you want someone given to wine. Or greedy of lucre. You know, they lack money. Or, you know, and holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. How do you get a pure conscience? Now that is a real trick. It's only by the power of God, through the faith of Jesus Christ, that our consciences can be made pure. It doesn't mean that we, you know, I swear, sometimes I really marvel at people, because to them, the pure, you know what a pure consciousness is? I sin and I don't feel guilty. That's not a pure conscience. That's having your conscience seared with a hot iron. That scripture is coming up in chapter 4. That's not a pure conscience. A pure conscience is when your conscience is guiltless. We have no guilt on your conscience. You know, and that can only be attained when Christ blots out our sins of the past and they stay there. And we walk in uprightness and godliness. We're able to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust by the blood of Jesus Christ. When we can do that and we know that we're walking in that and we leave aside the former conversation, the former behavior, when that's all laid aside and we are walking as he walked, we feel that cleansing of our consciousness, you know, our conscience is clear, pure, clean. And let these also first be proved. He's saying, let them be tested. Let them be, you have to, just like the bishops, there has to be some sort of, you can't just pick up someone off the street and say, you're a deacon. A lot of times they make the, you know, whatever. The way churches are run, I haven't been part of many churches. I kind of know what things are preached in churches, and I can only imagine how they're run. I mean, I sat in on a couple of elders' meetings in churches, odd churches, different churches, and there's definitely a, I don't know. Then let them use the office of a deacon being found blameless, meaning you got to find, you know, make sure there's no way they could be accused or reproached on anything that's, you know what I mean? Like, someone could have in the, you know, I don't know, maybe this would, you know, he used to do drugs. He used to be a drunkard. Maybe that would be disqualifying. Now, let's say if I had been a drunk driver and killed someone or injured someone, you know what I mean? But I'm a free man, you know, and that's over with, but it's like, still, that's, I think that would be disqualify me in a sense, because people it could bring reproach on the church. Look who they've got in charge. That guy. Do you know what he did? That scumbag, you know, he's walking around alive. I'm thankful that I'd never done anything like that. Thankful that God kept me. Because I was irresponsible in many, you know, in my youth and so on and so forth. I thank him that he delivered me from that. And that even while I was in it, I never hurt anyone. Well, I did have an accident once or twice. But nothing, you know, in that regard. Nothing that was serious, thankfully. Anyways, the deacons, well, you know, again, thankfully I don't stand out anywhere in as deacon or anything like that. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, let these also first be proved, etc. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers. You know, the word for devil is diabolos, or diabolu. And this is diabolas. Not she-devils. I like that. Not a she-devil. They've got to be... And what I glossed over the word grave before. Grave. We first saw it in verse 8. It means venerable, honorable, semnos. Yeah, it means a man of honorable. Doesn't necessarily mean like I think being serious is also you know, it's fine to have humor and so on and so forth, but it, you know, there's definitely a place for it, you know. A certain amount of seriousness with which we take the faith and our works in it. Not that we have to be in a stick in the mud all the time, but sometimes there are grave situations and gravity, and you know, you don't necessarily want someone who's just going to pop off in some inappropriate way. Venerable, honorable. I think older men are better at this. I don't mean to make it about me all the time. I keep on, but as I read it, I think of myself. Like, well, would I fit in here? I'm like, well, no, I don't think so.